We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hi, all, and thanks for being with us this afternoon on the Bobby McLean Show. Bob returns Monday, incidentally, and I'm sure that everyone will rejoice. And, hey, that's as it should be. 106.3 WORD is the Upstate's talk station, of course, and also 106.3WORD.com. The Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063. And we have Henry in Hendersonville. Hi, Henry. He dropped. Okay. All right. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. But give us a shout back. We got the old open phones going along here. He was going to talk about red flag laws and gun rights, of course, which we've already talked about a bit, but goodness knows you can't talk about it too much. I just simply note that this is not an area in which people are easily persuaded, especially when you're talking about people who, in many cases, have never held a gun. And there are a lot of people out there. I mean, a lot of folks here in the Upstate, of course, you've seen guns, been around guns, you've hunted with guns, you've target shot with guns. You may have a concealed carry permit. It may seem alien to you that there are people out there who have never held a gun. Trust me, there are many people who have never held a gun. If you go through, let's say, AOC's congressional district or Jerry Nadler's congressional district around New York City, except for people with a criminal record, I would dare say that 95% of them have never held a gun, except for those who served in the military. I mean, there are many people for whom guns are not a part of their everyday life, and they're very susceptible to that pitch, guns evil, guns bad. I mean, what are they? They don't know. That's why I suggest sometimes things that are, they sound kind of dumb, but I'm serious about this. If assault rifles, for example, which are not involved, by the way, in the vast majority of these mass shootings, incidentally. 56% of all mass shootings since 1998 involved handguns only. But if it's assault rifles you're talking about, again, you define them, you've got a flash suppressor, and you've got a pistol grip, and they're dark gray, and they really look evil. That's an assault rifle, okay? Paint them pink! I'm absolutely serious about that. I know that would offend the macho of many people out there, but I'm serious. If looking at them is how people determine whether or not they are evil, then paint them pink. I'm secure in my manhood. I can live with that, okay? 1-800-347-1063, the Ingalls Advantage talk line. It's now 10 past the hour of 4, and we have Robert in Clinton. And for those who did not know, by the way, and I'm sure Robert does, we're now into the 50th anniversary of Woodstock. Good evening, afternoon, Robert. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, Mr. Bohannon. And that's what I wanted to speak about today.
Okay.
And an address to all of us boomers. I was kind of influenced by what Rush stepped around a little bit so that he didn't criticize anybody. So they would say, oh, Rush Limbaugh said I stunk. Hates my music, so, you know, like that's a badge of honor. But he was talking about Woodstock today.
Right.
You know, some of the music was cool, and then he kind of stepped back and, you know, didn't say anything else. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Boomers, we need to quit romancing Woodstock and call it for what it is. Mr. Limbaugh today said that back in that time, he did everything he could not to be identified with the counterculture and the alt movement. And the draft dodgers, I'll add, and that group that were not actually fighting the Vietnam War but said they were opposed to it, and generally doing it with a college deferment until Nixon removed that. And then they all ran to Canada. But there was nothing to be glorified about Woodstock. It was a bunch of idle, privileged members of my generation who decided to throw all their education, all their upbringing, and all their morals out with them to go party. And it was really, Arlo Guthrie said it was the beginning of the end. No, Mr. Guthrie, it was the beginning of the end of American culture, because we romanticized the cesspool that it was as something to be attained. And from that, we basically went down, or started down the road to hell. And 2 years later, I think that it culminated in the frustrated America, a lot of which were from our later, what we called our greatest generation, the ones that won World War II and had survived the Depression, had enough, and it exploded at Kent State. Now,
well, I'll put it this way. I'll have some more to say about Kent State in a moment, but go right ahead.
All right. I'm going to tell you something. Well, I'm going to make an outrageous statement for the sake of outrageousness about Kent State in a minute, because it recently someone brought it up that we needed another one, and then they quickly withdrew it. But that being said, name one major accomplishment, because we had already landed a man on the moon, that happened in America post-Woodstock. We became obsessed with drugs. Yes, we had the EPA movement, but then we had Watergate. And it seems like America just started to just flop around because we were free to do our own thing. We, like I said, we threw our education out. We got into whatever feels good is okay, man. And we wound up with a generation today that we boomers are responsible for, that can't even feed themselves, and are totally are almost a helpless generation of what we now criticize as snowflakes, but we are the result of. And let me mention something about Kent State. This is my outrageous contention. Now, and they'll try to draw conclusions with the last scene in Easy Rider where the Bubba Necks come by and shoot
whatever.
Henry.
What conclusion do you reach about Kent State?
Here's a little conclusion I'll say about Kent State.
You can't say it?
I can say it. I'm just trying to take a breath before I do.
Well,
the
okay.
The problem with Kent State is that we stopped shooting. And I don't mean necessarily with bullets, but conservative America needed to keep an ideological Kent State going. We needed to defy Mr. Bob Dylan and say, your sons and your daughters are beyond your control. We could have done a lot, or our parents should have done a lot, to clamp down on us, hammer down, if that meant taking away our college money, or taking us down to the recruiting, or maybe signing, burning our blue jeans and putting us to work, whatever it took, because a couple of more ideological bullets fired. What did we come up with after that? Maybe it would have saved some of the 60 million babies because of...
Okay, well, I'll put this way. We're due for a break here, and interesting things, all of which I will respond to, but we're due now to pause ever so briefly. I would note, by the way, that the Reagan years followed Woodstock. It's not as though we went totally to hell, but Woodstock, I guess you could consider to be a rest stop on the way to hell, but it didn't start the whole process. And as Arlo Guthrie put it, it didn't end it either. All right, it's 4:15, pardon me, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
4:20 on this Friday afternoon. Good to have you with us today at 106.3 WORD. I'll respond to Robert and Clint in a moment, but Henry in Hendersonville has been waiting for a while. So, hello, Henry. Welcome.
Hello. How are you?
Hi. Fine. Thank you.
Yeah, it must be really hot down there. It's too hot for me up here.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I'm thinking you probably are a little more knowledgeable than I am on civics and government constitution matters, so I have a question that I've been pondering with these all this talk about red flag laws and such, and it seems to me that that should require a constitutional amendment. If the U.S. Constitution guarantees people the right to bear arms, then how can a state say that certain people can't bear them?
Well, you have to, of course, go to the precise language of the Second Amendment, first of all, and then which reads very simply, and of course, that's always been one of the major sticking points, this clause that was tossed in there. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, comma, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, over the years, no court has ever ruled that the Second Amendment means that anybody can own any weapon they want. It has never been so interpreted. That's all I can tell you. What has been the standard has always been that there can be some restrictions, that you may not own a tactical nuclear weapon to go hunting deer. That's all I can, can tell you in that regard. Now, certainly, I mean, you get right down to the whole notion of a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, et cetera, and so on. A lot of people, of course, will refer to the militia of the whole. And I would only say this, that I have never been given a membership card or called to a meeting, so I'm not sure how well-regulated that is. But, of course, that would be the argument. So, your point, I think, could certainly be defended. Yes.
Yes, it doesn't say the people have to be part of a standing militia. I think the idea was everyone has guns, and if the militia needed to be called up, everyone could come and bring their weapon with them.
Yeah, but of course today, obviously, you're talking more about the National Guard, and most people today don't own weapons.
Sure, and I'm not necessarily in favor of everyone being able to own whatever they want, but I think the way the Constitution's worded, it should require a constitutional amendment to restrict anyone from owning any particular thing.
Well, I can only tell you what the courts have ruled over the years. Again, you can argue the merits of that one way or the other, but that's how we have arrived at this point, Robert, no court has ever interpreted the Second Amendment to mean what you said. That's all I can tell you.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
I think the last caller must have been. I happened to actually watch the movie Easy Rider last night for the first time in my life. I've always heard about it. I thought, see what this thing is. Boy, totally not what I expected.
Well, I put it this way. I mean, Woodstock was a bunch of naive people who got together and thought that by wallowing in the mud and engaging in extramarital sex and taking a lot of drugs that they were going to change the world. And most of them have grown up to realize that that's not the way the world works.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's all I can tell you in that regard, Henry. But I'll use that as a springboard to get into the points that were brought up by the previous caller, Robert. And thank you for your thoughts. Again, no one has ruled that way about the Second Amendment over the years. There are those who have argued that the Second Amendment should be changed to just simply say flat out the second part of that phrase, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, period. If that's what it said, then the argument would certainly be in favor of you. So back to some of the points that were raised by Robert in Clinton. Let's see what all he brought up here. As I noted, Woodstock has become somewhat symbolic of the counterculture. It wasn't even the biggest rock concert of the era. It wasn't the first rock concert of the era. It was a rest stop on the road to hell, a speed bump maybe away from civilized and disciplined behavior and all of that. That nothing good ever happened in this country after Woodstock. As I say, I thought the Reagan elections were pretty good, and there are a few other things besides that that I think you could say. In terms of what led to Kent State were a lot of these same privileged punks who decided that it was okay to throw rocks at the National Guard, and some of the National Guard folks shot back at them. Now, while I certainly agree that it didn't turn out to be a wise course of action for them to shoot back. But on the other hand, I would wonder how many of those same demonstrators would be willing to stand up against a wall and allow people to throw rocks at them. You know, stoning is a method of execution in some countries, a fact with which they should become aware. So while I am sorry that people died at Kent State, the fact is that had they not been throwing rocks, it wouldn't have been happened, because you have a bunch of privileged punks who thought that their right to demonstrate trumped our right to ignore them. And it does not. So that is my response to Robert as we move to Alan in Inman here on Open Phone Fridays. And Alan is no longer with it. Okay, so there you go. Anyway, but the Woodstock, and something else, by the way, of course, that we should note today, in addition to the anniversary of Woodstock in 1969, of course, Elvis Presley died on the 8th anniversary of Woodstock, 1977 on this date, which is something else of that era, which was kind of sad. I enjoyed Elvis. Never got a chance to interview Elvis. That's sort of, I guess, one of those things that never got fulfilled on the old bucket list. I wish that I had been able to have interviewed Elvis. I've interviewed a number of people around him, a fellow who wrote a book about the Memphis Mafia and a few folks of that nature. I interviewed his drummer once. I forget what, Fontana, DJ Fontana. What was his name? I forget. But an interesting character. And in fact, on another show that I do, I'll be talking with a lifelong friend of his tonight, the game show host, Wink Martindale, whose wife, Sandy, actually dated Elvis for several years before she married game show host Wink. So we'll talk about that tonight. But again, the bottom line of all this is that it was an era that was the late 60s, early 70s. There were a number of tragic things that happened, and I felt badly about them. But Woodstock by itself did not automatically presage the road downhill. We have been gradually shedding our standards, our values, and our cultures, our valuable cultural assets, since at least the end of World War II. You could argue, if you want to find a starting point where this all began, how about Dr. Benjamin Spock and the baby book that all of those new parents back in the late 40s returned to? The soldiers were all back from World War II, and they were busy repopulating the country with a vengeance. And these parents decided they needed help in raising kids. We had had thousands of years of human beings who seemed to be able to pull it off, but all of a sudden Dr. Benjamin Spock came along with his book on permissive child rearing. If you want to talk about where this all began, it did not begin at Woodstock. In a way, Woodstock was the direct result of Dr. Benjamin Spock, if you want to find one scapegoat. But again, we've seen this coming, and we haven't done a whole lot about it over the years. I mean, seriously, we totally accept things today that would never have been accepted back in the late 40s and early 50s. Is that a degradation of the culture? Yeah, probably. Probably. All right. In any event here, we'll come back and we'll take some more calls and just chat about a variety of issues today, be it guns or our culture. You name it. Jimbo for Bobby Mack. It's 429.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, we got you covered there at 1-800-347-1063. 1-800-347-1063. The Ingalls Advantage talk line, the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, is 71307. 71307. Got lots of folks out there on Open Phone Fridays who wish to offer their views. And we go to, here we got Alan and Inman, who got through, I believe. And good afternoon, Alan.
How are you doing?
I'm well, sir. Thank you. I'm glad you made it through.
Yeah, I do too. I was calling in reference to my fellow veteran that called from Taylor's about the VA situation.
Yeah.
If he's, from what I could understand, he's wanting to switch from the Columbia District to the Asheville District.
He was wanting to do that because he could get faster service in Asheville, but for some reason he would not be reimbursed for transportation. That was the gist of what he was saying. Now, I have not had a lot of dealings with the VA, except one, and that involved housing, and that's probably a whole show someday that I won't get into. Suffice it to say, although I'm a veteran, I have steered clear of the VA. I don't particularly like them, even though I'm told they do sometimes give good medical service. So what can you add to what Dave was talking about?
Okay, I did switch from the Columbia District to the Asheville District, and the Asheville District, they do pay travel on certain situation. Now, if it's a specialty service and they have it in-house, they will not pay the travel. But if they don't have it in service in-house, then they will pay for the travel.
So it depends on what it is you want that will determine whether
right.
They'll pay you.
Correct. And I had my services changed right there at the Asheville Hospital. I went up there to the counter. They filled the paperwork out. 10 minutes later, I was switched over. It was the simplest thing, actually, that the VA ever done.
Okay. Now, if I think it was Dave, if he is still listening, and he's already talked to Senator Graham's office but gotten no response, and I don't think he has yet followed my suggestion to talk to Senator Scott's office or his House member's office. But what was it? Did you talk to the people in Asheville or the people in Columbia?
I talked to the people in Asheville.
In Asheville. What did you say to them?
Up there to Asheville.
Okay, what did you say that got you through?
I just told him that the service that I saw my father receiving in Asheville was 100% better than what I was getting in Columbia, yeah. And I wanted to switch it. He said, not a problem. And he filled out the paperwork for me, I signed it, and I was done.
Well, okay, then, if the previous caller is listening, and again, maybe he caught somebody who gave him a line of bull. I don't know. This sounds in complete contradiction to what he went through, but maybe a call back to Asheville could clear this right up, according to what Alan is telling us.
That's what I got.
All right. I mean, Alan got it fixed, so it is unfortunate that two different bureaucrats could give two such contradictory answers, but we appreciate that. Goodness knows, had I ever had the need to use the VA, that kind of advice could have helped me out on more than one occasion. Thanks, Alan. I appreciate that. All righty. It's now 21 before 5 at 106.3, and we go to Patrick in Woodruff. Hello, Patrick.
Hello, Jim.
Yes, hi.
You got a cowbell. Did Bobby leave you a cowbell there?
I'm sorry that I didn't bring the cowbell with me, regrettably, but
I
gather that makes you are you a new caller?
Yes.
Well, okay, hold on here. That's the best cowbell I've got. I'm sorry, Patrick. You'll have to call back Monday, and Bobby will give you a real cowbell.
Pardon? Okay.
Hold it. Moneypenny, would you do that again, please?
Oh, Moneypenny's on the ball, isn't she?
There. You now have your official new caller cowbell, Patrick. Go right ahead.
I'm a totally permanently disabled veteran, Vietnam veteran.
Well, thank you for your
Vietnam
service and welcome home.
We was in Vietnam during Woodstock.
I was back from Vietnam by that time.
Sure did appreciate that. Yeah. And all this controversy about South Carolina and North Carolina. North Carolina gives, they're the number one or number two veterans district in the United States.
So South you're saying Carolina the North Carolina is, district is just a better district than the South Carolina district?
It sure is.
Okay.
They're top of the line, and they'd be a very, very good service. And the one thing is being service connected. All of my disabilities are service connected from Agent Orange, and I got many of them.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm just glad to be living.
Well, I'm glad that you're living too, sir, as well. And again, as I say, welcome home and thank you for your service. I want to ask you, Patrick, did you hear both of the calls from Alan, the last call, and then the earlier one from Dave?
Yes, that's
okay.
Why I went to
What advice would you offer to Dave on getting the kind of good service that Alan got in Asheville and apparently the kind of good service that you get in Asheville? Dave said he couldn't do it.
Well, you go up there and you give them your information and they'll switch you over. And it's
okay.
No problem.
Well,
and I would advise him to do that because you're getting a whole lot better service. And you can call, I'm not throwing off on their South Carolina politician, but you can call Lindsey Graham till you're blue in the face. He ain't going to do nothing for you.
Well, I doubt that Lindsey Graham has been in office that long in the House and the Senate without having a pretty good constituent service office. He'd have lost a long time ago without that. So
I know,
anyway.
But I've got to where I'm calling a lot of numbers that since Trump has come into office, veterans' services are 200% better.
Really? Well, interesting.
You can count on Trump to stand behind you, and he's got a White House hotline that I call if I don't get the appropriate services.
A White House hotline?
And they'll give you a case number.
If you have a number, I'd be happy to hear it. I can give you the switchboard for the White House, but that will send you through a bureaucratic voicemail hell. For those who don't know, not that I would use it idly, but the switchboard number for the White House is 202-456-1414. And you used to get a switchboard operator. Today, I'm sure you just get a voicemail operator.
You ask for Lindsey Graham or ask for who your senator or your...
Well, no. You want to call Capitol Hill to ask for your senator or your congressman. And the number on Capitol Hill is 202-224, 3121? I forget. But that's a different number than the White House number.
Those numbers have long since left me, but good thing I got a good contact list on my phone.
Well, there you go. But anyway, you can reach, as I say, there's a congressional switchboard, and there is a White House switchboard. Now, you were mentioning something about some kind of White House hotline, and I've never heard of that. So
White
I thought
House
maybe you could
VA
share
hotline.
It. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Let me see if I can get over here.
Okay.
My back button.
All right.
Get
very
over
good.
Here
I'm just,
anything
that can cut through the red tape for veterans, I'm certainly in favor of that. The numbers that I have never cut through my red tape. Of course, I was making media calls, not VA calls, but. The numbers I have will get you there eventually.
Well, this is a very, very good number for veterans to write down, and I hope they do. I'm going to get to it in a minute.
Oh, well, okay.
I'm looking.
All right. In the meantime, while you're looking, I'll just ask you, when did you serve in Vietnam?
1968, 69. 70.
Oh, wow. You more than one tour. When did you go over? I left to Vietnam in May of 68.
Well, that's when you had all the Tet offensives. I was a replacement.
Well, I was there. The Tet offensive was the end of January 68. I was there for Tet, and then I left in May, yeah. I'll be honest with you. Because at the time, if you put in another 6 months in Vietnam, they gave you 30 days extra leave when you got home. After Tet, I withdrew that. I decided that somebody else could enjoy the beauties of Vietnam for the next 6 months.
Yeah, I remember that. And I could have got an early out, but I was too close, and I just came on back.
Well, in any event, I'll tell you what, we're into a break here now. I'm going to pause, and we're going to come back, and if you found the number, that's great. Jimbo, for Bobby Mack, it's now 4:45.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All righty. It's nice to have you with us this afternoon. 10 minutes now before the hour of 5 o'clock, the crush hour portion of the Bobby Mack Show. The real Bobby Mack, the actual Bobby Mack, not the fake Bobby Mack like me, but the real one is back on Monday. And I know you'll be glad to hear that. We, of course, have our Ingalls Advantage talk line, 1-800-347-1063. And we were talking with Patrick in Woodruff, a disabled Vietnam veteran who was offering some help regarding Veterans Administration services. And I might add, these were very important. Let's put it this way. I did serve my year in Vietnam. I came out of there unscathed, and I count my blessings frequently, at least several times a month. So I remind myself, boy, you could have been in pretty bad shape, and I'm blessed and I'm fortunate, and I'm very attuned to the problems of veterans who weren't so fortunate. So, Patrick, if you're still there, go right ahead.
I'm still here.
Yes, sir.
I got
go
that
ahead.
Number for them.
Okay, we have a number. Go ahead. Hold it. I'm sorry. Start again.
855-948-2311, and they'll give you a case number, and they'll get back with you on it.
Now, that is a Veterans
VA
Administration
Washington
number, correct?
The VA hotline goes to Trump. He's the one that set this up.
Well, it doesn't go to the president, I'm sure, but it goes to someone in the VA.
It's one of his representatives, but he's the one that, you know, wants to do right by veterans.
Oh, yes, I would certainly agree that he does wish to do right by veterans. So, again, the number that Patrick has found useful for veterans is 855-948-2311. Very good. I'm curious. Army, Marine Corps, or what? Just curious, Patrick.
Army Airborne, 173rd Sky Soldier.
Oh, I know the 173rd. That's a good group.
We had 20 Medal of Honor winners.
Were you? Well, I'm thinking. I'm not sure about this. Two Corps, Three Corps. Do you recall?
What was that?
Which of the four corps, I Corps, Two Corps, Three Corps, or Four Corps, were you in?
The BATS. I was in the headquarters BAT.
Okay, well, it doesn't matter what part of Vietnam you're in anyway.
I was in the Central Highlands.
The Central Highlands, Two Corps.
Yeah. Okay.
How far were you from Pleiku?
I was right near there. I was in Anke, Bong Son,
okay,
Quy Nhon, Phu Thai.
So you're familiar with a group known as the Montagnards?
Yes, I worked with them very closely. And also the other ones was the Mountainyards and the
Korean Rock Army.
Oh, you worked with the Korean, oh, bad people. The Koreans, for those who don't know, you may have heard about GIs and their folksy little habit of putting Viet Cong ears on a necklace and wearing them around their neck. That little trend started with the Korean troops, the South Korean troops. I knew at one time that the Viet Cong would go 50 miles out of their way to avoid facing the ROK troops, the Republic of Korea troops. They were not the nicest people on the planet if you were the Viet Cong.
They had you back.
They definitely had your back. They certainly did.
They were around you. You know, they were protecting you. And they were feared by the Viet Cong and
terribly
the
feared. They were, and the North Vietnamese regular army. You are quite correct. Yeah, the Republic of Korea troops, the South Korean troops, were great friends and not very good enemies. Yes, I would thoroughly agree. But they started that ear necklace routine.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway. Anyway, I thank you for sharing that, Patrick.
You know, the 173rd, they kind of went along with that, too. But I wasn't cutting people's ears off. I'll put it this way.
I saw a few ear necklaces. I never did that. And there were a few bodies lying around after Tet. They buried in a giant slit trench with bulldozers. They buried 1,500 Viet Cong within a quarter of a mile of my position. So there were ears available, but I just never got into that. Well, Patrick, I thank you for your service. I appreciate it and your helpful information. So, again, some help for the veterans out there. And you can't say enough. Veterans, of course, they have, again, there are people who I think who have had some questions about the importance of this on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. You don't know the individual circumstances. Some veterans, such as Patrick, suffered from Agent Orange, bad stuff, Agent Orange. And the people have suffered all kinds of problems because of that, cancer, respiratory trouble. Bad stuff, as I say, all the way around. I don't know what kind of problems some veterans may have, and I don't know what their financial resources may be, but issues such as came up in the last half hour about transportation reimbursement matter if your life is hanging on, thanks to some VA care, and you get much better care, let's say, in Asheville, North Carolina, than you do in Columbia, South Carolina, and you have trouble paying for transportation. Reimbursement of your transportation expenses may be a major factor in whether or not you have quality of life. So that's important. I'm glad that we had a chance to talk about that. Texter's here. Let's see here. Hi, Jimbo. The best event at Woodstock was Jimi Hendrix playing the Star Spangled Banner on the last day of the festival on Monday morning. It was Breakfast with Jimmy. I'll tell you a story. I interviewed a guy last night who did a book about the 50th anniversary of Woodstock. There were a number of people who were invited to Woodstock who did not attend. The Beatles, for example, who had just broken up a few months before, and they tried to get them there and couldn't do it. And the original plan for the end of Woodstock was not Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix was a last-minute add as the last event. They tried to get Roy Rogers, seriously, to sing Happy Trails to You. And Roy, according to this guy that I spoke with last night who has researched this, Roy hung up on the promoter, did not want to be a part of something like a hippy-dippy Woodstock. So, for what it's worth. We got more to come. It's Open Phone Fridays. It's the Bobby Mac Show. Jim Bohannon for Bob at 106.3 WORD. 3 minutes now before 5.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.